Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Kicking off hour two on a Wednesday, Chuck Oliver Show, which means you know a couple of things. We've been talking college football because that's what we do, but specifically on Wednesdays, it's the beginning of hour two. It means we just talked to Chris Landry. Fantastic guest. Love him. That has been his audio home on our show for a few years now, and it's just tremendous information. So appreciate Chris making that time for us every single Wednesday. Put it on your calendar. You make the appointment for it. Also, coming up in about 10 minutes, our good buddy Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times. Going to talk some Gus and UCF and the staff that he is putting together now. Actually, that's part of the CFT 365 about to come up. Another sort of offshoot of Gus and his staff. But going to talk UCF. South Florida is getting deeper into the facilities game. UF, Florida State, all of it throughout the state when it comes to college football. Matt Baker, like a younger Sammy Badden. Am I right? Like, we're going to cover the whole state with
him. Yeah, that's a great comparison.
That's tremendous. So it's not easier to be that as well. Also, coming up bottom of the hour, if you didn't hear Mike Norvell, the Florida State head coach, on yesterday with Dan, who was sitting in for me, we're going to re-rack that for you again coming up in about 20 minutes. But right now, I'm going to get everybody up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline: Beamer gets four-star pledge from 2022 safety. The South Carolina Gamecocks and head coach Shane Beamer got a verbal commitment. That's all you can have right now from a kid who's still yet to play his senior year in high school. But got a verbal commitment from four-star 2022 safety Anthony Rose. This is a big kid, by the way. He's 6'4", about 180. And it is a nice kind of little jewel to start the 22 class with for Beamer and that staff and kind of build out from there. So he played a wide receiver as well in high school. That is not expected to be the case in college, but all right, well, four-star, that sounds pretty good. Who else wanted him? Well, LSU, Tennessee, Arizona, a bunch of others, and he picked South Carolina, so Anthony Rose checks the Gamecocks. Headline: Mizzou adds former Tulsa secondary coach. Wow, what an inadequate headline. Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri has hired former Tulsa corner coach Aaron Fletcher. He has been with the Golden Hurricanes past 6 years, including putting a couple of guys into the NFL. In fact, Reggie Robinson last year was a fourth-round pick for Dallas. He played. So, not particularly well. Dallas got some really expensive – never mind. I just – It should equal more. Dan, you're a Cowboys fan. It should equal more.
Especially in the secondary, and it hasn't.
My goodness gracious. Anyway, he sent Reggie Robinson to the league a year ago, and really good reputation. Now, how does this kind of involve Gus a little bit? David Gibbs, who I will say, one of the more entertaining assistant coaches or coordinators I've ever interviewed. It's a little different. He's the son of Alex Gibbs, the veteran line coach in the NFL. But David's a different sort of guy. Really good coach, I always thought. And concentrates mostly in the secondary. Well, he was the secondary coach, defensive backs coach last year for Eli. He took the job in Orlando with Gus as co-DC, working for Gus Malzahn. So Eli Drinkwitz, They did exactly what you're supposed to. Reached down a little bit and said, all right, Tulsa, level below us. You want to come to the SEC? Absolutely. Final headline, Marshall transfer, DB names Wolfpack. That would be redshirt junior. Yes, I got that right. Rising redshirt junior, defensive back Derek Pitts. He has transferred from Marshall to North Carolina. This is actually going to be his, I think he's a pretty good ball player. He was from Marshall last year. This is going to be Pitts's, remember earlier in the program, I was like, I get it. It's a lifelong decision. This is going to be Derek Pitts's third Division I program in 5 years. He was at West Virginia at first. Then he transferred to Marshall. It's not that long of a drive. And now he's heading to Raleigh. Big enough kid and can play corner. And, again, just really kind of resurrected. But his college career, he was on scholarship and getting free school. And he turned into a pretty good player last year. So he has 2 years of eligibility left. And he has said it'll be with the Wolfpack. Now, when he graduates, he may transfer again. But for classification-wise, on the depth chart, he'll be a redshirt junior in 21, which means he can be a redshirt senior, graduate transfer potentially in 22. All right, consider yourself up to date. Going to take a break. Come back with the Sammy Batten of the Sunshine State. Sammy Batten covered the entire state of North Carolina. We made one call, cover the entire state. Kind of what we do with Matt Baker, but we're going to start with Gus and that staff that he's put together over in Orlando. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. What I know about Mackenzie Milton, that is a really talented kid. And I also know that he has the most impressive resume. I want to make sure. I think this might be right. He has the most impressive resume of any returning quarterback in college football in 2021. Now, none of that resume took place in 2019 or 20. He has run scout team. He has gone through multiple surgeries, and then you have to heal, then rehab, and then you start trying to play football again. And, I mean, folks, this isn't like running around with flags around your waist. This is at Florida State, and I think he's going to be the starter. And they open against Notre Dame. So have fun with that. I want to welcome on right now a guy that I said we can go anywhere in the Sunshine State from the Tampa Bay Times. It is Matt Baker. Matt, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. We're going to start actually over in Orlando with Gus and the staff he has put together. It is either nearing completion or maybe it's there now. I was mentioning David Gibbs joining as co-defensive coordinator. There are assistants on that staff who left much higher profile positions that they had in 2020, and some of them did it by choice. I like the staff.
Yeah, I do too. You know, you look at Travis Williams, a DC that might, you know, was going to be at Miami.
Yeah.
And Herb Hand's a guy that, you know, has been around at a lot of big time programs, pretty well respected. I go back on GJ Kenny, the co-OC and quarterbacks coach. I worked in Tulsa for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And know how well respected he was there. You know, Gus was there at TU around that same time as well. So yeah, I think it's a pretty impressive staff, and I think Gus is going to do a really good job there at UCF. You look at what, you know, just X's and O's wise, he's a very, very sharp guy. I think I've been high on him for a while. Obviously, things didn't work out at Auburn, but I think that's a lot of it had to do with Auburn, maybe as much, if not more so, than Gus. And, you know, I think he's got a lot of potential there. UCF is, you know, one of the top two or three programs in the group of five, if not the clear number one. And if he's able to recruit at the level that I think he's able to, with the staff that he put together and everything else, UCF's going to be really good for a while.
I saw yesterday somebody had sent this to me, and it's from 24/7 Sports. And, you know, it's February, and if you're writing about college football, you got to come up with stuff in February. But it was a list of the Florida head coaches as recruiters. And, you know, I never talk – I've always said the worst topics are, you know, Pat Forty said. Let's talk about that. That's not a topic. But I want to just reference this list to then get your drill down. And it was Manny Diaz as the number one head coach in the state of Florida as far as recruiting. It had Gus Malzahn, too. And then Mullen, Norvell, Taggart, Scott, and Davis. Just give me your general impressions about, because, I mean, 24/7 recruiting is what they do. And Gus is a really – that surprised me, that someone in the game would have that sort of response, that sort of opinion.
So I think there's a couple different wrinkles here. If you look at just him as a recruiter, I think it makes sense. If you look at what he'll be able to do at UCF, I don't think it will. You know, I don't think UCF's going to get a lot of guys that the Gators want or that Miami wants, and maybe that FSU wants, depending on what kind of season they end up having. So put that aside. But if you look at just Gus as a recruiter, he's pretty darn good. You know, I'm sitting here in Tampa, but it's not that long ago. You know, they got when he was at Auburn, he signed Byron Cowart, who was the top recruit in the country at Armwood High School right here in my backyard. I think it was the next year or the year after that. He signed Nate Craigmeyers, a big-time receiver from Tampa Catholic, who was the top recruit in Tampa Bay that year. There's been other ones as well. Ryan Davis ended up being a productive receiver at Auburn. He was at the time, he was Pinellas County's all-time leading passer. That's in kind of the St. Petersburg area. So he has signed really high-profile, very good players from the Tampa Bay area specifically, in addition to the rest of the state. So, yeah, I think, you know, if I'm USF, when I saw that Gus Malzahn was hired, I would get a little bit nervous, because obviously they're going to be competing for the same type of recruits. UCF has had a lot more success the last couple of years than USF has, and now you've got a guy who's a very good recruiter, and not only a good recruiter, has done really well in your own backyard. So, you know, I definitely think highly of Gus as a recruiter.
All right, you mentioned Tampa there, and I want to ask you about South Florida and one thing that's going on there with their facilities. And I'm not trying to be dismissive here, but I saw a headline, South Florida commits $3 million to upgrade facilities. I was like, that's a rounding error in the SEC. Then I read the story. It is in no way limited, the ambition and the ideas and what they're now working to fund and flesh out. It's, I mean, it goes where UCF did, on-campus stadium. That's what they're planning now.
Yeah, so there's, you know, we're all over it at TampaBay.com. That's how I spent the last hour and a half, and I'll be spending my next 3 or 4 hours. So here's what's going on with USF. Their facilities are not good. They're just not. They're not at... Now, USF should be one of the top 10, if not higher than that, group of five programs. And facility-wise, they are not there. And they've been in talking about these facility upgrades. They don't even have an indoor practice facility.
In Florida, that's impossible.
Exactly. It's impossible. You know, I don't think you need the flashiest stuff, but that's a practical thing that has cost the Bulls a lot of practice time and is a mistake.
It rains just enough every afternoon at about 4 to ruin practice.
Exactly, and it was mind-boggling. The Bucks had the same thing years ago, and Lovie Smith pretended to be surprised that it rained in Florida and didn't seem to care. But if it costs his team practice time, it's an issue.
Yeah.
So here's what's going on with USF. They're going to spend $3 million to upgrade, kind of renovate their current athletic center, mostly and gear that toward football.
Mm-hmm.
And starting this summer, they're going to start on a $22 million indoor practice facility that would take about a year to build. That's the first phase. And the next wave of renovations, they're going to work on a football operation standalone building. Like you're seeing it go up all over the place. The Gators are literally like laying the foundation for the one that they're building right now. So that's kind of the next wave. And eventually, at some point, an on-campus stadium is a possibility. You know, it's not anywhere close. It would cost probably a couple hundred million dollars to do. Right now that the Bulls are playing at Raymond James Stadium, yeah. which just hosted a Super Bowl and is home to the NFL champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they're fine to play there. It's a very nice facility. It's got its perks. But eventually, if they're going to be the kind of program that I think they can be and reach their potential, they need an on-campus stadium. That's not anytime soon, but it's in the pipe dream stage where maybe at some point that's something USF can do, and it's something they need to do, frankly.
You know what? I went to I think it was a Georgia-UCF game back in like 96 or 97, and program relatively new, had a couple of trailers in a parking lot, and if somebody would have said they would have a shiny new, whatever, now inflation, but they spent about $50 million to open their place 13, 14 years ago, you would have thought they're crazy, but then you snap your fingers and suddenly it's 2007 and they're cutting the ribbon on a place. And so you got to have the plan. And I assume that it would be on the same scale when UCF left the Citrus Bowl and went to whatever, Bright House Network State, whatever it is now. You don't need 75,000 seats for UCF football, just like you don't need 70 whatever thousand for the Bulls.
Yeah, that's correct. USF did a big feasibility study in 2018 if we were going to do this, what would it look like? And Colorado State was the model that was kind of used, yeah. where about 30, 40,000 people, again, $200, $250 million, somewhere in that range. They're figuring out places where it might go, what it might look like, just kind of, okay, well, if we're going to do this, here's what would make sense. And you know, like I said, I think it's something that needs to happen. I went to a school in the Big Ten, Northwestern. We were not known for football excellence or anything like that, but we had a stadium that was close, and you could get to the stadium easily and go to games, and it was part of your college experience. Obviously, that's nowhere close to what the SEC schools have. But if you have to get in a car and drive across town yep. to go to a football game, you're not going to do that as much. So you're losing some of that college atmosphere. And if they're drawing 30,000, they're doing okay in the AAC, but it makes Raymond James Stadium look half empty. So there's a lot of issues like that, and I think the best way to address it is an on-campus stadium where it can feel like a college football game and build a sense of community there that doesn't exist at a program that's still relatively young, only 25 years old, is a football program.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's years away. It's going to take time to get there. But I know the AD Michael Kelly was making it quite clear today. He believes in it. He thinks it's something that could happen. That's just not where they are right now.
And Markell Blackwell will do the coin toss on the first game. All right, let's head to Tallahassee real quick. I talk too much. I'm sorry. But I do want to get to Mackenzie Milton. Tell me what you think Mike Norvell and the Noles are getting, because I know they're getting a leader and a great kid and, all those other things that we say. We got about 60 seconds left. What do you think they're getting as a QB on the field?
I don't know yet. And I hate to give you that answer. I just don't know about his health. I thought it was a low-risk, high-reward move to bring on Mackenzie Milton because, again, like you said, his resume is very, very good. He is extremely well-respected in the sport. And he has a lot of potential. The healthy Mackenzie Milton that was kicking butt at UCF, he can play for just about any team in the yep. country and play well. Yep. And he would be a great fit for Mike Norvell. I just don't know if he's healthy. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I don't know. But the upside of a young quarterback room that needs some experience, they need to learn how to win. They need to learn all that stuff. And Mackenzie Milton is a great guy to teach him. So I love the move just because there's not a lot of risk there, and the reward, even if it's just intangibles and leadership, is a big boost for a program that needs a lot of help right now.
Well, Matt, I don't know if I can push the envelope next time and start asking you about Willie and Butch down in Miami, but you covered the other four pretty well today, brother. I appreciate the expertise every time you come on. Thank you, man.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times. Yeah, I don't know if we can go like a lot of Panther talk, but – well, we normally don't need a lot. In fact, you know what? When we want Panther talk, we get Butch on. So we don't need Matt to talk about FIU. But great job, as always, again, on loan for a few minutes from the Tampa Bay Times.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get right to the phone lines and be joined right now by the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles. He's entering his second season. He is Mike Norvell. Coach, appreciate your time today. You got Dan Matthews with you. How are things going for you right now?
Everything's going well, Dan. Just, rocking along in the winter conditioning program, kind of gearing up towards spring practice. You'll hear in a few weeks, and, there's a great deal of excitement around the facility. Pleased with the work our players are putting in, and how these guys are all kind of coming together as we're building to move forward.
And, Coach, forgive me if I missed this. Have you set a date on when spring will begin?
We're going to start on March 9th, and we will conclude with the spring game there on April 10th.
Looking forward to it for sure, I'm sure. Coach, just COVID-19 and trying to navigate it this year and still trying to navigate it as a coach, what has it taught you about doing the job on a daily basis that you feel like you're going to take going forward?
I think one of the areas that we've all grown is we've had to learn how to adapt and be able to operate and communicate in a variety of different ways, and from the virtual learning with how we've had to install in the past. I mean, that's presented some absolute challenges, but we're also able to gain some great experiences, and to be able to know that there are other ways to do it. Even though it might not be ideal, the ability to adapt and adjust, and for our staff, it's been a great opportunity to try to show our players how you respond to difficult situations. And we've seen challenges over the last year. I mean, it's like I said, it's been challenging for everybody in our country, but for us, we've really embraced the opportunity that we've had to grow, and I'm excited about a lot of those experiences and what they, the position that they're putting us in now, to be able to take those next steps here moving forward.
I mean, can you allow yourself, Coach, to kind of get into a headspace where going forward and hopefully progressing towards where we hope to be, where there is not the worry of COVID-19 on a daily basis? But this job's not easy. I'm sure you'd be the first to say that, where you say, if we can get through this and we can navigate trying to coach and play a game through these conditions, I mean, what's kind of stopping us when things calm down a little bit?
Well, we're excited to be able to get into a more normal routine. It's one of the things that, especially being a first year staff, that it was unique in a lot of aspects because of how we had to adapt, how we had to adjust. To be able to go through a full spring practice, for our guys to understand what the expectation is, how we're going to operate, and then to be able to build confidence, through the process of how we prepare and what that looks like. It's going to be fun for us here in the next month to really be able to play out the what that experience is and what how we approach spring ball, but also as we jump into the summer and the fall to really be able to fall into our new normal, whatever that's going to be, and how we can operate for this upcoming college football season.
He is Florida State head coach Mike Norvell, and he joins us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan in for Chuck here on a Tuesday. And you touched on it a little bit there, Coach. I mean, you got a little bit of a spring practice last year, but I mean, just the excitement level for you and your staff to not only be able to have it on the horizon, but likely be able to have all 15 dates to get that work.
We're looking forward to that. And, just the physical development that we've seen from our players throughout January and February up to this point. I'm excited about the positive steps that I've seen. Last year, we were one of the youngest football teams in all of college football. I think it was 75% of our roster was freshmen or sophomores. We've been able to see those guys take great strides in their physical development. Obviously, their understanding of what's expected, within the offensive, defensive, special team schemes. But now to be able to go truly focus on those fundamentals and grow together, as a team, as well as bringing in. I think we have five freshmen that were early enrollees. We had seven transfers that were able to join the program, and already seeing those guys kind of gel together, to help build the identity for what the 21 Florida State Seminole football team is going to be.
Yeah, we'll get to those transfers that you just mentioned there in just a second. On both sides of the ball, going to be players that are going to be able to benefit your program in 2021 and beyond. Coach, the other part of it as well is last year you didn't get a chance to experience Doak Campbell Stadium the way that it has been in the past, full capacity, all those different types of things that come with it being the venue that it is in the sport. I believe I read somewhere that you'll go back and you'll watch old YouTube videos. Can you kind of explain to our audience about that, of just, I guess, trying to get a feel of what the full experience could be going forward?
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, Doak Campbell is one of the greatest sports venues in all sports that our country knows. And this last year, being able to play with I think it was 25% capacity, it was different. We had you could get a sense of the energy and the support of our fan base, even at reduced numbers. But to go back and see the great moments, the unbelievable crowds, just the energy that that this place, what it can bring to a contest. It is definitely unique and an iconic place. And I've got a chance to watch a lot of those on YouTube and to just visualize what that's going to be like. We're definitely looking forward to having that opportunity here this fall.
Florida State head coach Mike Norvell joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And coach, like I said, let's get into some of those transfers. Of course, quarterback Mackenzie Milton is one that I know you get a lot of questions on. And I know you're kind of limited in terms of exposure to him during the offseason workouts as a head coach. But what kind of reports are you getting in terms of how he's looked this offseason?
Well, we get to be a part of a lot of the workouts. So I've got a chance to see him, in the weight room. Obviously the agility work that we're doing. I mean, he's doing a wonderful job. Really also, just the relationship building and getting to know these guys that have been here, been a part of the program, building those relationships. I mean, it's been a fun transition. Mackenzie looks great. He's moving really well, and excited about spring practice coming.
Had anything really necessarily surprised you about Mackenzie? I mean, I'm sure that you probably had a little bit of exposure to him when you were at Memphis and he was at UCF, but anything necessarily stand out to you about him?
No, I mean, I pretty much had a good sense of the competitor that he was. Obviously the leader that he was for that program. Had some mutual, connections and relationships just with guys that were all on that staff, and to hear the stories of what he meant to their program. It's been great having him here, and just the humility in which he carries himself with, but also the confidence in how he approaches everything that he does. Guys really gravitate to him, and he's excited about the competition that's ahead, and really the opportunity for this team. And that's that's all you can ever hope for. Coupled with the story that he has and the things that he's had to overcome over these last few years, it's definitely a remarkable sight to see.
Again, continuing with Florida State Seminoles head coach Mike Norvell here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Coach, a couple more questions for you defensively. How are you feeling about that unit this year, and also, too, the transfers that you've been able to add to that side of the ball?
You know, I'm excited about the unit, and you know, the guys that are returning, you know, they've done a nice job throughout this the off season so far, just of their development. You know, we were really young, and you know, due to injuries and a variety of factors, you know, had to play a lot of different guys, you know, on that side of the ball, and so you know, guys were able to get some experience, but you know, now going into this off season, having a sense of where the improvement needs to be, and you know, just individually, collectively at each position. And then overall, as a whole, as an entire group, and you know, being able to add some guys that I think are going to add to our competition, but also allow us some flexibility of what we're going to be able to do schematically. You know, I think that's it's been a really good off season in that regards, and we're excited about seeing these guys compete. And you know, like I said earlier, you really formed the identity of what that unit is going to be as we're moving forward.
And final one for you, your defensive coordinator, Adam Fuller. I mean, what do you feel like he can bring out of them in his second year?
Well, you know, I'm excited about, you know, being able to have that continuity. And these guys, you know, you look at our defensive players, you know, they'd had four different they played in four different defenses in four different seasons. And so, you know, there's been a lot of change, and you know, there wasn't a whole lot of continuity, you know, but for these guys to have some confidence in understanding the calls, understanding the expectations, you know, putting in the work of what it takes to be successful. You know, I've got high hopes for where we can go and what we're going to do. And you're definitely excited about you know, what Adam's going to be able to instill in these guys as we're moving forward to this 21 season.
Well, Coach, really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. I know the preparation is probably full go for March the 9th, so we really appreciate your time. Have a great spring, and hopefully we can catch up before we kick off next fall.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, and go Noles.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I'm Florida. I'm saying, look what Kyle Pitts did. And now let's look at the five-star quarterback. I mean, the five-star tight ends George has brought in. What did Washington do? Oh, he caught a few passes there at the end. That's cute.
My man Rodney Nabolson from UGASports.com, and he's talking about Eric Gilbert and why he chose the Gators. That's checkers. It ain't chess. It's the same thing that I was talking about with the Alabama offensive line. I finally reached the point where I was like, it's not just you know, you should go to Alabama. It's if you have an offer, I don't know why you go somewhere else. I mean, they've separated themselves. That's a great place to go if you're an offensive lineman. And I'm supposed to say a lot of great places, and there are. You go to Notre Dame, be a great lineman, go to the league. You go to Southern Cal, you're a great lineman, go to the league. If Alabama offers, it doesn't matter who else offers. You go there if it's a real committable offer. And so if you're a tight end and you're looking to get a little run in maybe a season or two, and that could be Gilbert, then playing for Dan Mullen, it wasn't just Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts was amazing. We talked with Chris Landry about him a little earlier in the program. But it wasn't just Kyle Pitts, because Kyle Pitts, I think, played 8 games this year. And that's no, you know, like shot at, you know, only played 8 games. I'm saying the coaching staff, in addition to trainers or Pitts himself or whomever, it was 8 games, I think. And it was just fabulous. But when he didn't play, it was Zipper and Gamble as well. And those two kids, those are not the same tight ends. and neither of them is Kyle Pitts. Hi, I'm a 6'6", 240-pound wide receiver. But you're listed as a tight end. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, I'm a tight end. My bad. So, it's not hard to figure at all. We always, you know, all week, all year, it's all college football. I got to break that a little bit. And I just have to make a quick comment about the story that, I mean, it was, yeah, rolled the sports world yesterday. It was on the three-letter networks. That's what we say. You leave the four-letter network, ESPN, you get on the three-letter network, ABC, CBS, et cetera. Tiger Woods and his easily could have been fatal crash. The biggest difference between Tiger Woods and everyone he has competed against, it's the same biggest difference between Tiger and all of us. And I've always thought this. It's even more gargantuan than I've ever considered. Tiger's great advantage was always the mental part, the locked-in focus part. He was long off the tee. Dan Matthews is long off the tee. We were at an event at Top Golf. Is Top Golf everywhere? Do I need to explain what Top Golf is?
No, people should know what Top Golf is
okay.
by now.
We were at a Top Golf event about 3 months ago, and I heard somebody snap an oak tree in half, except it was Dan teeing off of the second level of this thing. He almost hit the back net. So long off the tee is attainable, okay? Because you don't even have to be that accurate. It's, for the most part, kind of wide open. I'm talking about par four, par five. So he was long off the tee. You know what Tiger, like the best part of his game was? I thought his scramble game was always the best part. Like a tee shot that would like hit a cart path and like into the next, not the next fairway, the next rough. And then all of a sudden you realize he's putting for par. It ain't birdies that would win him or eagles. It would be the par when the tee shot was a fairway and a half over. So it wasn't the physical part of it, because his best skill, I thought, was always recovering from an errant tee shot. It was always the mental, the locked in. Yesterday morning's crash left Tiger Woods with fractures in both legs, including a compound fracture. I believe it was his lower right leg, and then also the ankle was broken. Plus the other associated trauma with flipping over a median across the oncoming lanes and then rolling, according to the sheriffs, quote, a few hundred feet. The summary from the first officer on the scene, quote, Woods was conscious and able to speak to deputies when they arrived, giving them his name and appearing lucid and calm. Brother was having a conversation. He was in the driver's seat saying, my name is Eldrick Woods, and I'm fine. My leg really hurts. He was having a conversation. SUV over a median, across traffic, and then a few hundred feet it rolled. Tiger inside. How to stay locked in? Well, maybe he was in shock. Nope. No, he was just being Tiger somehow. Just unbelievable. All right, just wanted to mention that. I don't know. That's just a different. If you've ever said athletes being in the zone is not a thing, this is not him being in the zone. Okay, that's 12 in Augusta. He's in the zone. This though was a reflection. That man's focus and locked in, even in the. Just unbelievable part of the story, that, and that's what the sheriff's office, he's like, we just have never seen someone that with us after that type of damage. So, all right, let me go ahead and wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Auburn's defense is closer than most of us are thinking right now. That they weren't good for most of last year, and they're closer to being really good again, I believe. And that's not an us problem. It's not like we're so far off base we should know better. That's the last time we saw Auburn's defense, it wasn't very good sort of thing. Not enough experienced, proven depth up front. Not enough. Almost anybody could say that, but Bama and Georgia and Clemson. But not enough experienced, proven talent up front, and that can undo a lot. If you can't stop the run, you cannot get your defense off the field. But it still has a shot to be a much better defense than anyone will talk about this summer. Auburn got a commitment from, we saw Dylan Brooks, the four-star or five-star from that was originally going to Tennessee. Everybody knows what happened. So now he's going to Auburn. He can play as a freshman. In fact, he's going to play as a freshman. They also got a commitment from a transfer yesterday from West Virginia, cornerback, Tre'Shaun Miller. And my reaction summarizes the entire college game currently. I'm as excited about an experienced, immediately eligible cornerback as I would have been about any position other than offensive line. And the revealing part is Auburn doesn't really have a needed corner. They returned their top three from last season. Quality cornerbacks are now the same as pass rushers. You will never have enough. Now, you think through every position group on a team. All the other positions. There are only two others I've ever said that about. You will never have enough filling the offensive lineman and defensive lineman. That is it. Now, it's corners. Auburn's got three really good ones, including Roger McCreary. They got three really good ones coming back, and that is where a transfer from West Virginia yesterday decided, yeah, he wants to jump into the fray as well. So the secondary's loaded. The linebackers are, I think, going to be the best unit on the defense. And if you can have somebody who's probably the first digit of his age is a one step up on the defensive line, then that could be the missing piece. It's not going to be a great defense, and it's not going to lead to a championship in 2021, but it's a lot closer to coming back than people realize. That is my closing argument. Brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Whether you're in Alabama or Tennessee or Florida, Georgia, wherever, if you need legal expertise and you're in the Deep South, you need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates.
Well, you know, it's funny. We played that Roddy Ndebolse cut, and it's only fair that somebody that's on his payroll, Brent Rollins, who we've had on this show before, be able to provide some context and some numbers. This came across earlier today, Chuck. I saw UGA tight ends combined, and this is last season, 23 passes, 39 targets for 369 yards and two touchdowns. 10 of those 39 targets, about 25%. Explosive play, so 15 plus yards out of that. So it actually, when done, is effective for UGA. So maybe it's something they should look into. Wide receivers was 22.9, running backs was about 20%. So it's one of those things that I can understand as Georgia fans and even the media alike now. It's almost, Chuck, a tradition every single offseason is the offensive coordinator comes to the podium. Yeah. Offensive coordinator fields questions. Offensive coordinator is asked about tight ends. Oh, we're going to use the tight ends this year. And, Chuck, let me go ahead and ruin the surprise for people. I think that it's finally a point where Todd Monken can get up there and say, well, we don't throw the tight ends around here, and why the hell would we start doing it right now? I think that's the tack that he needs to take, because now it's kind of one of those things where you're kind of just insulting our intelligence at a certain point where it's, oh, yeah, we're going to get the tight ends involved. I mean, we've got Isaac Nauta, a guy that's got tremendous talent. We got to get him involved. Spoiler alert, they didn't. Oh, yeah, no, we got Darnell Washington. We got to get him involved. Spoiler alert, they only did for one game.
Why that? Oh, to recruit a different tight end.
And that's exactly it. And now, I mean, and I guarantee you, he looked at this number some way along the line. This got to Eric Gilbert, and he said, I caught that many footballs. I wasn't targeted that many times. I caught that many last season as a true freshman.
It is the same biggest lie you hear from every offensive assistant coach in college football every offseason. Oh, we're going to throw to the tight ends this coming. See, everybody, same biggest lie. All right, wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. Back tomorrow with more college football conversation.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.